We are simply carrying too much stress, too heavy of expectations, big feelings, and big emotions. And then are equally hard on ourselves at the same time. Take this as your reminder to minimize your stress, ask for the necessary help, and take much better care of yourself. Are you tired of feeling overwhelmed, burnt out, feeling stressed, pulled in every direction, constantly comparing yourself to other people, lacking in confidence, all while driving in the express lanes to make it to the next part of your day as you chug your second or third cup of coffee? Not to mention, you are the queen of long-winded to-do lists with an ambitious dream. If only you had more time in your day. Welcome to The Best Day Podcast, the podcast to encourage your heart and speak life to your dreams. I'm your host, Haley, wife, mama, high school teacher, and encouragement blogger at Graceful and Free. For the last several years, I struggled to find a healthy work-life balance. I was overcommitted, refused to say no, and worked a lot, sacrificing my sleep and my joy just to hustle harder, all while feeling extremely stressed and overwhelmed. Then I became a mom and I knew something had to give. Through embracing a positive mindset, I have found balance, established boundaries to protect my peace so that I can live every day as the best version of myself. Here to embrace an intentional life, believing that the ordinary can be the extraordinary, and to make sure your heart knows that every day is truly capable of being the best day. Ready to have your best day as the best version of yourself? Well, friend, grab your iced coffee and let's get encouraged. You are listening to episode 142 of the Best Day Podcast. Hey friend, welcome to another episode of the Best Day Podcast. It's your host, Haley. I am here with you for another episode, wishing you a very, very happy Monday, a happy week, as we are cruising through that last week of March, which is so crazy. So here to say that I hope you have a week that is full of purpose, full of great meaning, and that you find all the little moments of joy along the way. I am so excited for you to hear today's guest episode with my friend Chloe. Chloe and I recorded this conversation a few weeks ago, and we really were able to sit down and just talk through major areas that cause us stress as busy working moms. And this conversation was so candid and really truly was this outpouring of real life and authenticity and encouragement. And my hope is that through listening to this episode and hearing Chloe and I's conversation regarding ways to take better care of you, that you would feel encouraged and that you would feel empowered and ready to make one small, simple change to help ease the stress and take better care of yourself. Now, before we dive into this conversation, I would love to take a moment and introduce you to Chloe. Chloe Ward is a functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner who helps busy women break free from exhaustion and stress, empowering them to wake up feeling refreshed and energized. She uses a combination of functional lab testing, lifestyle assessments, and nutrition principles, as well as one-on-one support to help busy women uncover imbalances and dysfunctions within their body systems. Once these underlying issues are identified, she works with them to create personalized health and wellness protocols that often include dietary changes, lifestyle modifications, as well as targeted supplementation to support their body's natural healing process. I am so excited to share with you this incredibly meaningful and encouraging conversation. Welcome to the Best Day Podcast, Chloe. I am so excited to have you here.
I am so excited to be here as well, Haley. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited that we connected, and I am so pumped up for just what you're going to share with the Best Day and really some powerful tools to just make sure that the way we are living is fully optimized for our best self, no matter what is happening and all the things that we are carrying. And so I'm so happy to have you here. I'm so happy for us to talk further.
And I just cannot wait to dig into all the good things you have to share. And so please introduce yourself and tell my listeners a little bit about what brings you joy.
Yes. So before I introduce myself, I just wanted to share something with you. So over this weekend, I had 2 hours to myself, which rarely happens. So my children, I have 2 daughters, they're 6 and 7. They were with their grandma. My husband was at work. And so as a mom during these 2 hours, I took the opportunity to clean the house, do laundry, put away dishes, all of that fun stuff. And while I was doing that, I actually was listening to one of your most recent podcasts that you did. And it was the one Stuck in Survival Mode, I believe that was the title of it. And I really am so happy we're talking today, because I am so excited to just share with you how much that resonated with me. I work with a lot of busy women, a lot of moms especially. And, you know, at times, it can be really hard to practice what you preach. And I feel like right now I'm really just in a season of busyness. And sometimes that can be really overwhelming and really stressful. And so again, really practicing what I preach, it can be hard sometimes. And so really hearing that episode of yours, I felt like you were writing that episode for me and speaking directly to me. And all of the tips that you talked about are also things that I will talk about with my clients as well. So just really remembering that this is temporary, and you know, we can get so caught up in the like what has to be done and, you know, having the perfect house and clean house and everything put away and nice and organized. And while I thrive off of organization and cleanliness, just really taking a moment to pause and remember that, you know, my house is dirty. You know, that's something that maybe I can take a step back and be thankful for, because it means, you know, I have children that are happy and thriving and playing in the house, and I'm not putting things away. And that's because, again, my kids are having fun and enjoying themselves. And, you know, in this go-to-go world, I feel like we're so overwhelmed and stressed. And just that reminder to take a deep breath, and it's temporary and it won't always be this way. And someday I'm going to look back and really miss all this chaotic and craziness. But I just had to share that with you, that listening to that podcast, I was kind of just like in a funk that day. Like I said, we're in a busy season. And after listening to that, I was like, okay, I just feel more grounded. I feel like I need to take a deep breath and step back and really just, you know, again, practice what I preach. And so I'm so happy that you posted that episode. And if you're listening to this right now and you haven't listened to that one, I recommend going and listening to it after, because they're really sustainable things that you can do. They don't take a lot of effort or energy, but they're really effective. So I wanted to share that with you, because I really enjoyed listening to it.
Well, thank you for sharing that, because again, as mentioned in that episode, it was not the episode I had intended. And it was just one of my favorite things about the podcast space. Of course, I love connecting. I love guest interviews. It's so much fun. But I also love when just in the moment, you're like, scratch this. we're gonna talk about this, because it's pressing on my heart. And I always feel like that's such a fun way to be real and authentic and just share the real life and the messy. And we all are dealing with it. We're all, you know, figuring it out as we go and trying to, you know, keep it together and keep a smile on our face and not let all these little things that add up over time feel so heavy. And so I love you for sharing that. Thank you so much, because we all love encouragement. And so thank you. And I'm just glad we're here. We get to talk. And again, just as you said, very similar, you know, thoughts on things we can do to ease the stress and to, you know, find ways to rest to where we can let our body fully recharge. So thanks.
You're welcome. I just felt called to tell you that. So I really appreciated that episode. So thank you again. But a little bit about me, I can't speak today. So my name is Chloe Ward, and I am a functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner and a certified integrative nutrition health coach. And I help busy women to conquer exhaustion and stress with sustainable solutions. And I chose this niche because many years ago, I experienced a handful of health symptoms that were not diagnosable by multiple doctors and specialists. And it started, you know, after getting off birth control, struggling with infertility, having really hard pregnancies, really, you know, hard time postpartum, having a lot of health issues. And kind of the same thing, I got to a point where I just felt really burnt out. I had no energy. I felt like a failure as a mom and as a person, and kind of just struggling with my identity and what was going on. And, you know, I really had to take my health into my own hands. And so after doing that and enrolling in a lot of courses, getting a lot of certifications, I left a career in law enforcement after 10 years to go into the field of health coaching full time. And so a really big shift. You know, that's hard when you're in your mid-30s, not to say I'm old or anything by any means. But, you know, when you have been doing something for pretty much your whole entire adult life and then you switch paths, it can be really scary and intimidating. But we don't grow if we don't take risks and we don't change. You know, there's that saying that if you keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting new results, that's the definition of insanity. And so for me, it finally was that like aha moment that I need to do things differently if I want different results. And so now I help other busy women who are going through the same health issues, whether that be digestive issues or chronic fatigue or hormonal imbalances, or they're just plain burnt out and stressed from being a mom and working and internal and external things that are going on to cause that. And so it's something I'm super passionate about. And I could talk about it all day if you want me. So I am excited that we're here and I can talk with you about that.
I love that. And way to go for just first off, you know, realizing that something wasn't right and getting frustrated and digging and looking and searching for answers and finally realizing that, okay, like, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to get the help that I need. I'm going to learn, right? I love when people, and I especially love when women, like, get educated about the things that they want to know more about and using that as empowerment to take matters into their own hand and to not just say, okay, like, I'm learning this for me, but also I want to bring this to other people and I want to share this with others and coach others. You know, of course, that's always the teacher in me. That's always pro-education, pro-learning, right? Like, I'm always surrounded by it constantly, you know, learning and growing and taking chances, but also that risk. And I love what you said about if we continue to do the same thing and expect those same results. Like, that's such a cool way to look at it, because even you just saying that, like, I was thinking of my own health goals and thinking of things that I want to achieve. And you just speaking that, you know, affirmation is like, man, wow, if I think of it this way, that alone would give me a little bit more of a push to, you know, seek out a change just by, why are we doing the same things that we always do that don't produce the results that we want? And so that's awesome. And I'm excited to dive into this because, again, it's something that we all feel all the time. I was sitting on the floor of my son's room last night during bedtime wrestles. He's 2.5 and literally just sat there, like, pretty much in tears, feeling like, I can't do this. And, you know, he's in my lap holding on to me, and it's precious because he's holding my cheeks and he's looking at me directly. Like, I feel like he's seeing my soul. And he's like, mommy. And I'm like, this has nothing to do with you. It's just mommy is tired, and it's okay for mommy to express how she feels, because I know you get frustrated too, and we all get frustrated. And so doing what's necessary to use the actual tools to make the fix and the small changes that we can easily do to kind of feel that less stress and get to a place where we don't have to feel burnt out, because we know the necessary steps. And a lot of that fully is how we take care of our bodies and treating our bodies the way they were designed to be treated. And
exactly. And I love that you said that, because I grew up in a household where we, when I was younger, really suppressed our emotions. And if we were sad or upset, while my parents were supportive, we didn't really talk about it. You know, it was kind of let's sweep it under the rug. And so I am really trying to break that habit with my girls. I have a 6 and 7 year old daughters, and, you know, letting them know it's okay to have these strong emotions. It's okay to be sad and cry, and let them have a safe space to feel heard. And, you know, they are mirror images of us. And so what we do, we reflect to them. And so by you being able to do that with your son, like, that's such a beautiful thing. And especially with little boys, like, there's nothing wrong with being nurturing and tender. And that's such a good quality to have and, you know, present. And it's actually not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of being strong and, you know, letting your emotions release. And so that's awesome that you did that, because I feel like with this day and age, there's so many people that they put on this hard shell where they try to be tough and, you know, keep things in for whatever reason. And that's not healthy either. That contributes to that extra stress that we're already dealing with. And then we're not setting our kids up to be successful with their emotions and relaying them when they get older too, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And it's, you know, when you're, I feel like as a parent, you are always learning so much, and there's so much you feel like you don't know, and you're being challenged, and something new happens, and you figure out like, oh, we got it. We've accomplished this season. And then it's like, boom, just kidding. Like, the ceiling's higher. You gotta figure this out. But what's really cool is I feel like there's so much we can learn from our kids just by them developing and them evolving as human beings and personalities and, you know, little ones with dreams. But even as we're sitting there dealing with, you know, bedtime fun and nap wars and all these things, his emotions are so big right now, as any 2.5 year old would be. But we've been trying to validate his emotions, because all the things that I'm looking at and all the things I'm trying to learn in is, okay, how do you parent through the terrible twos and quotations, right? Because I also don't believe that any age is terrible, and always trying to find the joy even in the hard moments. But it's like, validate the feeling. Let them know that what they're feeling, it matters. And even though they don't know how to regulate it in the moment, just by letting them know that, hey, the way you feel, that's important. You're allowed to feel that way. And I know you don't know how to handle it yet, but you will one day. And I'm going to do my best to show you that. And so I think that's a cool way to just approach life, is we might not know the exact solution yet. We might not know the proper way to fix what we're dealing with, what we're going through, but a willingness to learn and a willingness to be patient and trust ourselves to say, hey, I might not know this right now, but I will figure it out, and I will learn the skill or the method and anticipate that, I think is also cool. So I'm always learning things from my 2-year-old and always trying to figure out, you know, what are better ways to just approach life so we can not be as stressed and just be in the moment and find that appreciation for the little moments that truly are the most meaningful.
Exactly. I'm right there with you. And I know so many other women and moms they're in that same boat, and it's really hard. It doesn't get any better. Like I said, my kids are 6 and 7, and now there's a whole new set of, you know, things they're going through, even more strong emotions, like friendships, and, you know, it's hard, and there's no rule book that comes with parenting. And so, you know, we're trying to break these cycles and trying to do things differently and learn as we go. And it can be really hard. And, you know, I was kind of having one of those moments, like I said earlier, when I was listening to your podcast, I was like, oh my gosh, I just need to take a step back and breathe and realize it'll be okay if my house is dirty and I don't do laundry and I don't have this Pinterest board perfect kitchen and, you know, everything nice and tidy. I will survive and it'll be okay, you know?
I love that. It'll be okay. And the laundry will still be there. As I literally, before jumping on this call with you, I had to put no joke, 100 different pens that were all on the floor of my office because my son thought it would be super fun to sort through mom's pens and put them all on the floor. And I like walked into my office and I was like, oh, this space, I can't do a podcast in this space. So hold on. It's just comical because I laughed because of course you're like, why else do anything else except laugh in this moment? Because this is just funny. Sure. All right.
Exactly. You have two options. You can be upset about it or just laugh from it. And you know, what's the point of being upset over stuff like that? That's something I've been learning lately. Like we have two options with everything we choose in life. We can choose like road A or road B and what's going to be the benefit depending on each road. And so I have trying to be more graceful myself with my children. I know it's not always easy, but again, I'm trying to be the parent that I wish I had when I was younger. And so that's something that's really hard, but every day, you know, you can continue to work on it and improve and be a good example, which is awesome.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Again, so important to just take those moments as they happen and just to say, okay, what am I going to do here? I could do two things. What's the best? And I also have lately been challenging myself with when I'm getting frustrated, figuring out why. And I don't always like the answer, but like sitting with myself to be like, okay, why are you letting this situation frustrate you? And it's usually something to do with a need that I haven't met myself or something that I can easily point to as, okay, well, if we focus on this, implement this, maybe that can be a better solution. And so always trying to figure out again, as you mentioned with yourself and the last, you know, week definitely being busy, we have felt that way over here. And so I think that's even more perfect timing for us connecting and talking to with just how we both are feeling. It's like, you know what? Hey, like we got this. We can do this.
Not only that, but it's so nice to just talk with other moms because I know when I was kind of in the deep trenches of all of my health issues, especially with infertility, I felt so alone. I'm 34 now, but at the time I had just been married, 23 years old, and none of my other friends were married. They weren't engaged. They weren't trying to have kids. And so when you struggle with something by yourself, it is extremely isolating and very lonely. And, you know, that makes these things even harder, no matter what you're struggling with, whether it's a health issue or a financial issue or a relationship, whatever it may be. And just really knowing that there's so many other women, not that I wish, you know, that harm or that stress or sadness upon them, but just knowing that you're not alone and you're not the only one and there are other people going through what you're going through. It's almost comforting to know that, you know, I'm not the first person to go through this and I will survive and others have too and others after me will also. And so that's one thing I love about what I do is all of the symptoms that my clients have, I have experienced those and I have gone through those myself. So I know what it feels like to be, you know, at the very bottom and just depressed and anxious and just so sad to overcoming whatever health issues I had and the light at the end of the tunnel and just knowing that if I can do it, you can too. And so that goes to being a mom as well and just with anything you do. Like at times it might feel like we're the only one, but we're not. And so that's something that I find some comfort in, especially during those challenging times, you know?
Absolutely. That you're not alone and other people are, might not know the exact extent to what you're walking through, but are walking through challenges and can feel and relate to, you know, the questions and the frustrations and the pain and the stress. And yes, it's so empowering and freeing to just know that and just feel like, okay, I'm understood. I don't have to do this alone. I don't have to feel alone in this. And, you know, people can see me for where I'm at and what I'm trying to walk through. And so I love that you get to do that with coaching women specifically who are feeling all of the things and are feeling the stress and feeling the overwhelm and not really knowing what's the best way to like balance it all. What's the best way to you know, I need to be a good mom. I need to be good at my job. I want to be a good wife. I want to help, you know, pursue things I'm passionate about. But how do I not put myself at the back burner? Because I think so often we do that as women, as moms. We make our list, we make our priorities for the week. And it's, if I have time, I'll work out. If I have time, I'll make sure that I am eating healthy. If I have time, I'll, you know, focus on, you know, this, this, and this related to ourselves physically. And then what do? We lay in bed at night before we fall asleep, just trying to unwind, scrolling our phones, thinking of, okay, let me just decompress before I wake up and do it again tomorrow. So what a cool position to be in, to just truly encourage others, but also share your journey and to share your story and be able to say, hey, this is what works. And I know this works because it has made a difference for me.
Yeah. And that's one of the first things that when I get new clients that we go over, because as a mom, especially, we are putting so many other people's needs first before us. And you know, there's that airplane saying that they go over when you're in the airplane. If there's an emergency, you need to put your, you know, breathing piece on first before you help someone else. And as, you know, hard as that might be to hear, we as moms really need to do that too. And not even just moms, just anyone in general, because if we are not taking care of ourselves, we cannot show up with our best effort for others. And so, you know, that might not mean getting a massage every day or weekly pedicures or whatever it might be, getting your hair done every month. While those things are great, there's other little things that you can do and implement into your day-to-day routine that you need to do, because you're putting so much love and energy into these other people, but then you're not giving yourself that same love back. And if you can't take care of yourself, if something were, heaven forbid, to happen, you know, your poor family, your children, your husband, your spouse, whatever, they are going to be the ones that suffer if you are sick and ill and not here and not able to help take care of the household. And so that's something that we work on from the beginning. You know, we need to figure out a plan. And even if it's just one thing, you know, getting up 30 minutes earlier. And like for me, I set a timer to get up at 5:45 every morning so I can read the Bible before my kids are up. And then after I do that, I will get up, get dressed, start my day. And just doing that versus, you know, sleeping in maybe 30 extra minutes and waking up frazzled and running and on the go can make such a big difference. And so that's something that I actually really enjoy doing, is helping these women to figure out, okay, let's see if this is going to be better for you first thing when you wake up or before bed. But regardless, finding something that we can do to set your day on a good note or end your evening on a good note, because that's something that's so important. If you wake up and you're in a hurry, or you go to bed and you're upset and overwhelmed, it's just not, it's not good. We don't want that. It's not healthy. You know, that causes more stress on our body, which can lead to all these other health issues. So just really taking the time to dive into what that can be and how we can incorporate that, as well as other things throughout the day, so we can be a better parent, a better person, a better spouse, employee, boss, whatever that may be.
I love that. It's so good. And it's something that I can clearly see within my own life, within patterns, when things are going really well and I'm feeling like, yes, like I feel accomplished. I feel like I'm being the best mom. I'm being the best teacher. It's always when I have that time for myself and when I'm able to start my day for me, because I have to fill that cup before it can be given to anybody else. And if I don't, it's a struggle. If I don't, it's like fighting an uphill battle, which, you know, like I'll figure it out. It might not be pretty, but I'll figure it out. And then the same at the end of the day. And just as much as you love being able to work with your clients on that, that is definitely something I find a lot of joy in too, and figuring out, okay, like, let's see, trial and error, what works, you know, learn from, and, you know, experiment with yourself, see like, okay, what time should I wake up? It doesn't have to be crazy, right? I know we love to come up with the most ideal morning routines, but it just needs to be something. It just needs to be one action that you can do for yourself that sets your tone for the day and sets your energy and allows you to wake up with your own rhythm and not constantly being pulled into something else. And that's obviously never can always be the case. And I think anyone with young children will understand that, that we can have our plan and we can try to do everything we can to fit it in. But of course, there'll be some days that it just isn't going to happen. But being able to just in that moment, take a deep breath and say, you know what, this is just today and it's okay. And it can still be a good day. And I can still regroup and recenter. And I'm not going to let this thing throw me off. But I love that. And I love that you have what works for you and that you know what it is you need to start your day to be able to be fully Chloe. And so I love that.
Exactly. And that's something else we work on too, because obviously life isn't perfect. Stuff happens. We can have the perfect plan set up and then your kid is sick or the dog throws up on the bed or, you know, whatever it may be. And so something that I work on heavily with my clients is, you know, stress. What can we do when something stressful happens to really get us back on track? Because it doesn't matter if you have this perfect plan and this perfect schedule. If you're not addressing the stress that comes up and you're not able to be resilient and bounce back, you know, that is why in the long term is going to cause a lot of, you know, extra stress and anxiety. And we already have so much of that in this like go, go, go world, especially as moms that we're in. And so whether that be taking, you know, just a moment to do deep breathing, or I'm a really big fan of tapping, that really grounds me, or even just pausing and like thanking God for the chaos that's going on, because it means I have a family, which is something I have wanted. And especially after struggling with infertility and just giving me like the serenity and patience to move on and let it go. And then other things like, okay, so something bad happened. What are three good things or three things I'm thankful for in this moment, just to kind of shift that perspective? And, you know, it, some of them sound kind of cheesy or corny, but they really do work. And just having those, these little toolkits in your back pocket for when times are rough and stressful, you know, getting back on track is what's important, because you're going to fall off of your diet, you're going to fall off of your supplements and your exercise routine. And that's okay. We're human, but we want to get back on track. We don't want to go on the narrow path elsewhere, you know? And so that's something that I had wished I had had guidance with when I was going through all of my health struggles, because I have a very all or nothing mentality. And that's something that has been really hard for me to let go of. But in doing so, and I'm still a work in progress, but in doing so, I've just felt so much more peace and like a weight lifted off my shoulders, because I'm not perfect. No one is. And so these ridiculous expectations, they're just making things harder and more stressful for me. And we don't need that. We have enough to worry about.
I love that. And I like really taking the time in the moment to do little tasks that you can easily manage, things that in the moment, even in the most stressful moment, are things that are simple, you know, tapping your fingers. I will try to like sense what's going on and like focus on, okay, like what do I feel my feet doing? What do I feel like my legs? Okay, my like, you know, bottom is sitting on a chair. Like my arm feels a breeze through my office. And okay, like I feel like my hair resting on my shoulder. And just little things like that is what something I'll try to do to just like ground myself and recognize that, okay, I'm here. I'm sitting. It's okay. I'm breathing. All right. I feel a little stress, but we're alive and we got this. And I think it's important to not just push the stress away and to just continue to run into the survival mode of everything, but instead to just recognize it and see what you can do in the moment with it. And then from there, you know, process it a little bit more clear, so that way you're not dealing with that heavier load, just as you said, to where like weeks go by, months go by, and it's all of the weight of everything that you haven't even processed it. And then also love what you said about, you know, just all or nothing personality, which I definitely can relate to. And just letting go of the expectation and just, it's a work in progress, absolutely, but constantly reminding yourself that, okay, it's okay. We don't have to be perfect. We can try our best and it might be nowhere near what normally we would like to have accomplished on a good day, but it's okay. And I'm not going to worry about it. And we'll try again tomorrow.
Yes, our health and wellness, I consider it a marathon and not a sprint. So, you know, you're going to have these up and down hills and it's going to take time. And as long as you keep going, you're going to reach that finish line. We're not trying to get there as fast as we can because we're going to burn out, which happens to a lot of us, especially moms, when we, you know, we get disappointed when we don't hit our unrealistic goals. And our body cannot tell the difference between us being chased by a lion and us being stressed out because our kitchen is dirty and nothing is put away. And regardless of what is happening, we're releasing cortisol, which is the stress hormone. And stress isn't a bad thing. Stress is a really good thing. It is something that can protect us if we're being chased by a lion. However, after we have these stressful events, that is when, you know, our body should be able to relax and have cortisol go down, but that's not happening. And so when we set these unrealistic expectations and goals or whatever you want to call them, we're just really setting ourselves up to be unsuccessful. And we do this every day. It's like, okay, today I'm going to go work out and I'm going to get all my stuff done and meal prep. And then it doesn't happen. And you're mad at yourself and you go to bed upset. And then you're like, okay, tomorrow is going to be perfect. I'm going to eat the perfect breakfast and then work out and then get my work done. And it doesn't happen. And we, you know, we just tend to fixate on that. And I've been guilty of that at times too. Ask my husband, he will vouch for that. But, you know, it's about the resiliency and getting back on track. And we're not perfect people, but by having small sustainable shifts, just in lifestyles and nutrition and what we do, it can help us to, you know, really just live the healthy life we are supposed to. And so I am a firm believer in progress, not perfection, because I've yet to find a perfect person who does everything by the book, myself included, clients included. And so just really letting that go and focusing on what we can control and what we can do and getting back on track is something that's super important that most people don't do. And so that's why I love what I do, because I get to teach other women how to do that and what specifically for them, because we're all different and we all have different needs and different things going on. So it's not a one size fits all approach, but we can take kind of the same general patterns and teachings and trainings to implement that stuff.
I love that. And being able to like figure out too, like, okay, like this is who you are. This is, you know, what you like to do. These are the things that bring you joy. And with this and who you were created to be, this is something to consider. Or maybe you try this situation. And just as you said, not everything works for every single person. You know, some people, while I do believe, you know, most people would probably be better for having some sort of structure in their morning, there are definitely people that are, you know, like, no, I don't need that time until the end of the day, or I can manage, you know, my mornings a little bit more rushed and chaotic. And so I think that's so fun that you can work one-on-one and really get to know your clients and help support them reaching their health goals and wellness goals through a very personalized approach, because we all are so different. And it can be easy to feel discouraged when you hear somebody's success story and you're like, well, that's great. That worked for them. They must have more time, or they must have, you know, figured out a secret that I don't know about. But it's really just figuring out what works best for you, what you can adapt to, but then also how to get back on track, as you said, for when you have that off day, and finding the quick little fixes to put yourself back on target and realizing that it doesn't have to be as complicated or as hard as you might think in your mind.
Exactly. And especially with social media right now, I'm guilty of that at times too. It's so easy to just hop on Instagram and see these moms who are stay-at-home moms and, you know, they're able to do a million different things and have the house immaculate and, you know, homeschool their children and, you know, meal prep and do all these things and take their kids on these nice vacations. And while that is awesome, I wish I could do that, it's a highlight reel. And so I feel like when we constantly are on social media, which is another one of the things that we work on, is limiting our time on there, because it is a highlight reel and you start that comparison trap and then you start to feel inadequate, like, well, I'm working and I wish I could be a stay-at-home mom. And then some stay-at-home moms are like, well, I wish I could go to work because I miss that social interaction, or I wish I could homeschool my kids and I can't do that, or their house looks so perfect and they have all the new gadgets and it's so nice. Like, why can't I get it together? And it's just so unhealthy. And while some things are obviously entertaining and there are things that maybe we can one day down the line hope that we can have, but in the meantime, it really just sets us up to be unsuccessful because it's so unrealistic. And on social media, everyone is posting their highlight reel of, oh yeah, my perfect weekend with my kids, when in reality, you know, my kids were probably happy for that 5 minutes and then they were having a temper tantrum right after because I wouldn't let them have ice cream or watch another show before bed or whatever it is, you know? And so just really being careful with what we focus on and put our energy into and what we allow to consume us as well.
I was just about to say that, being very intentional with the things that we consume and, you know, even the content we consume and what we are putting our time towards. And again, like, you know, everything can be a good thing, but also things can equally be a bad thing. And I think being honest with ourselves and our intention of what we are doing when we're doing something. What's the purpose? You know, why am I scrolling through my phone right now? Like, what is the actual reason for it? You know, do I want a distraction? Okay, cool. Do I want to be entertained for something else? Cool. But what's happening to my thoughts? What am I thinking about myself based on what I'm seeing? Am I questioning myself as a mom, as a working mom, as a teacher? Am I questioning myself as a human? And I think, you know, being aware of our thoughts in a way to learn and to grow and not to, you know, feel like we need to beat ourselves up, but to just simply be curious and to think, okay, why do I feel this way? Oh, interesting. Okay, because you just saw something that, you know, gave you a different messaging that might have been something you never would have come up with on your own, other than you saw it shared on social media. And that's the only time you're seeing this. And so I think, you know, of course, limiting and managing and being aware of what we consume and where we put that in our thoughts and in our hearts and in our minds of to what weight are we giving this, I think is a really powerful tool to really help us just also be confident in the person we are and being true to yourself and staying grounded in the person that you were designed to be, because that's nobody else other than you. And like, you're fantastic as you are. So don't let the highlight reels try to deter you from that.
Yeah. And that goes for everything too. Like, I've been guilty of that before too, when after, you know, having my children, I gained 65 pounds during my pregnancy. And you see these people on Instagram and they're like, oh, I lost my postpartum baby weight right away, or I joined this whatever and I lost 10 pounds in the first week. And then when it doesn't happen to you, you know, we feel like a failure and like we're not good enough and what's wrong with me. And so it's really important. I really emphasize like giving yourself grace and compassion, because again, that's something that my children I love more than anything, and I want to show them grace and compassion. So if I'm going to be showing that to them, why would I not show that to myself as well, you know? And that's something that I think a lot of us forget, and it's really important, because again, if we're not taking care of ourselves, we can't take care of our family and our friends and our, you know, coworkers and just any our household, whatever it might be. So just super important to give yourself that grace and compassion and know that like you are so special and we're loved. And, you know, while Instagram and TikTok and all these social media platforms can have, you know, some, you can meet a lot of great people and you can get your message out, there's also a lot of negativity with it. So just really being careful what you consume and to not let it, you know, consume your life, because then that's when the anxiety comes in and the imposter syndrome and, well, they're better than me and I'm never going to be that good and I'm never going to have this or that. And it's really hard. And that's actually one of the things we work on a lot with, or we work on a lot, is to, you know, minimizing the watching the news and your social media usage and just a handful of other things, because those are things that can really distract you and they waste time. They're time wasters. You know, we're scrolling, and a lot of the reasons why we're scrolling at night is because we're overstimulated. We have dysregulated nervous systems and our bodies are just stuck in this fight or flight, and we don't know how to relax and be in this rest and digest mode. And so that actually contributes to all of this stress and inflammation and all these other, you know, hormonal imbalances down the road. And so it's so important that we do these simple things, because they have greater health implications and greater outcomes down the road as well.
Yeah, that's cool to hear that, especially, you know, I'm thinking now like, okay, why will I jump on my phone when I'm laying in bed? It's like, oh, because the lights are off and I'm now confined to this one space. And it's like, my mind is still going. It's still racing. And you're like, oh, well, I obviously need to get something else done because I'm still awake. I'm still alert, you know, instead of letting your body naturally like process into sleep mode and reset and rest and recharge. And so, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. As to, there's probably a lot of things that we're doing that are our coping mechanisms that are actually harming us and that we don't fully give ourselves time to work with or sit through and, you know, fix, because we're like, I don't know. This is the only thing that I know.
It's really hard to sit still with your thoughts and, you know, things that might be uncomfortable, or to really just like have a moment to ourselves. And that's so important, rather than using distractions to, you know, because we're so busy and we have so much to do, and these distractions will help distract us from what we really need to be doing, which might be, you know, focusing on regulating our nervous system or getting to sleep earlier, or, you know, not endlessly scrolling online at night. And so really important that we, especially as moms, as women, we work on that, because it will put an impact on how we are the next day and long term, and really determine, it's something so simple, but it really has a profound impact on our overall health. And not many people realize that until, you know, we work on sleep and people are like, oh my gosh, like, I can't believe I was doing this before. Once they have a good night's sleep and they wake up feeling rested and full of energy, they don't want to go back to feeling crappy and waking up exhausted and not prepared for the day. And so that's something I really like about what I do with clients, is we find these sustainable shifts and we implement them, and they see pretty quickly on just the profound impact it has. And they don't want to go back. They want to feel good. They don't want to go back to feeling sick and tired.
That makes sense. Once you have a really good night's sleep and you're like, wait, it's possible to like feel this way when I wake up? This is an option? Yes, please. Yeah. So what would you say for the busy woman, the person that is being pulled in all the directions, who is trying to take care of herself, but is definitely putting the priority on her family and her career? What would you say to really help get her back on track? What would be the focus? What would be your biggest piece of advice for the person feeling it all?
Well, there's a couple things that come to mind, kind of, again, like what I mentioned earlier. You can't take care of others if you're not taking care of yourself. And so one thing that I'm a really big proponent on is asking for help. And I know that I'm very stubborn myself and I don't like asking for help, but if you do not ask for help. Others are not going to know that you need the help. And so whether that be from your husband and you say, hey, I'm really overwhelmed. Can you please put the kids to bed so I can take a magnesium bath? There's nothing wrong with that. Or, you know, letting your husband know, hey, I had a really rough day. Can you just take the kids for a little bit so I can go on a walk, or I can have some alone time so I can come back and recharge and be a present parent? Or if that goes deeper, if you're facing something like anxiety and depression, like reaching out to a practitioner or a professional, there's nothing wrong with that. And usually there's a lot of underlying root causes that are contributing to that. And if you don't ask for help, you're not going to get better, or you might get better, but it's going to take a lot longer. And I know as women, I feel like we're so prideful and, you know, we want to be seen as like the strong one and we can do everything. And that is great, but it's really important to ask for help when you need it. It's not a sign of weakness. It's actually a sign of growth and maturity, and you letting others know that you need help and you need to be taken care of too, just like your husband and your kids and your animals and your employees, whatever it may be. Just ask for help. And that's something that I unfortunately waited too long for in a couple circumstances. And if I could go back in time and ask for help, I wish I would have, because I feel like that would have made a difference in a lot of situations that I had going on. So just really not being afraid to let others know what you need and that you need help.
Yeah. And that's not a sign of weakness at all, but instead a really powerful sign of strength, because it's not the easiest thing to do, to be vulnerable and to be honest and to share that, hey, this is something that's hard and this is something I'm struggling with, and I need the help. And can we figure out a way to make this a different outcome? And so, and, you know, definitely having, you know, your husband on board and, you know, just having that open and honest conversation, as well as just the power of being able to say, hey, like, today was a stressful day, and being able to recognize that it was stressful and that you need something, that you need a way to unwind, you need to be able to physically decompress, to reset, to be able to come back the next day and do it all again, but process that stress in the moment so it doesn't hang on and hang around longer than it should be.
Yes, we don't want to have it build up and continue to build up and build up, and then we finally explode, because I have done that too before, where I let things bottle up and then one day you just snap and it's like, this could have easily been avoided if I would have addressed this like weeks ago when it was like a little itty bitty issue, and now it's grown into this big ordeal. And that's not fun for anybody, for anyone on the, you know, tail end of that. And it's not fun for myself either. And I don't want to be doing that constantly. And I know others don't want to either.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it just feels draining and exhausting and just like, okay. And every time like we snap, like instantly, you're like, well, okay, that was not fun. That did not need to happen. Like, you don't feel good about it. You might find like the instant release of like, okay, I let those feelings out, but you're like, that's not the way I wanted it to come out. Like, that totally backfired. And it can cause more stress too, especially within the immediate surrounding, you know, especially if you're doing this in front of your kids and it's bringing other people into it. And so, you know, which is what happened in our house last night. And again, you know, I decided, let's try to make this a learning moment for my son so he could recognize that, hey, we all have hard feelings and have hard days, and that's okay. But yeah, really feeling, you know, confident in this goal and this push of, I'm going to figure out a way to take better care of myself. And it might be a step out of my comfort zone, but I'm going to grow, and I am going to take the chance to say, you know what, I'm going to ask for help, and I'm not going to be worried about, you know, this perfect life, this expectation that I'm trying to fulfill. I'm just going to put that aside and I'm going to ask for help and do the very basic things that I need to do to make sure I'm taking care of me and that everybody else around me will also appreciate that.
Yeah, I can testify, and my husband can too, that he would much rather know up front if I'm upset or frustrated and letting him know that versus holding it in and exploding. And then when I explode, I instantly regret it. And then I feel even worse. And, you know, my kids hopefully, you know, aren't listening and didn't hear that. But if they do, like, that's a really big thing. They see mom and dad yelling. There's tears with everyone involved. And that's, you know, kind of the household I grew up in. There's a lot of yelling, a lot of sleep, like sweeping under the rug. And, you know, really trying to break that cycle is something, it's a lot easier said than done, but it's so important. And that can all be avoided by just asking for help, help with the dishes, taking out the trash, picking up the animal poop, like whatever it may be, making the kids lunches, taking them to school. Just ask for help. And if you don't ask, you know, on the other end, they don't know and they might think that everything is fine. And then when you explode, they're like, where is this coming from? I had no idea, you know? And so it's really important to just communicate and ask for help. You know, we're all human. We're not perfect. We all need help at some point in time. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if we don't ask for the help when we need it, again, that's kind of on us to do.
Absolutely. And I think that's something so cool about the time that we are living in right now. And as somebody who, you know, spends quite a bit of time with, you know, the high school age student, one of the coolest things I've seen and witnessed over the past, you know, decade is more and more people not being afraid to ask for help, as well as more and more people, you know, within our generation recognizing, you know, the importance of sharing and discussing feelings and working through, you know, things that, you know, generations of families have dealt with, and like looking at things in this really cool, purposeful way of saying that, hey, like, there's a reason and there's a root to why all these things happen, and we're going to uncover it, and we're going to do so we can release it and we can find a freedom in it and that we can all be better for it. And doing so in a way of, you know, excitement and, okay, like, this is going to be good. And I think that's something that's really encouraging to see, is just the open and honest conversation and just more people, you know, feeling vulnerable enough and comfortable in that vulnerability to reach out and to not be afraid to show the struggle, to share the hard, and be excited for what can happen when you let other people in. And I think it's definitely something that I feel encouraged in my role in the classroom, and just talking to, you know, other women who are working through and dealing with the same thing.
Exactly. And then you become that role model too, you know, for your kids. If you need something, let's not throw a temper tantrum. Let's use our words and, you know, explain to me what's going on. How can I help you? Why are you sad? Why are you upset? You know, it's the same thing. My husband, like, what? Okay, what's going on to cause you to, you know, lash out and react this way? And sometimes you just need a good cry and to dump it out, and that's fine. But, you know, how we use our words and how we relate information is so important. And asking for help is the first step, you know, to doing that.
I love that. Well, where can people find you? Where can people connect with you?
They can find me on Instagram. My username is One Healthy Meal at a Time, or they can find me on my website, which is onehealthymealatatime.com. And on there, you will see a little bit more about me and what specifically I do and my signature root cause approach to healing, the different types of symptoms that I work with, and testimonials and all that good stuff.
That sounds awesome. Well, I know I'm excited to check everything out in more detail, and I will have everything linked in the show description. And Chloe, I have one final question for you, and that is, what does your best day look like?
Oh, I would love to be able to sleep in until 6:30. Wake up and have a really good breakfast. I love omelets lately. I'm on an omelet kick, so having a really good omelet. And then I would say go to a Pilates class, come back and hang out with my chickens and my dog, work in the garden, And then when it's time to get the girls from school, just have good quality family time. I love being with my kids and my husband. I love playing games with them, going on hikes, getting out and going to the beach and scootering, riding bikes. And, you know, if I could have the perfect Saturday, that's what I would love to do. Have some me time and then have some family time to end up the day.
Love that. The best of both worlds for sure. Well, Chloe, thank you so much for joining us here on the Best Day podcast. I know I'm feeling encouraged and excited and just ready to just be honest and be open and to ask for help and to just keep seeking out a healthier lifestyle, because not only do our people deserve it, but we also deserve it.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me, Haley. I appreciate it.
Of course. This was so fun. Have the best day.
Wasn't that such a refreshing conversation? We could have talked for hours. I believe it fully. I hope you were able to take something from that and feel encouraged and feel seen and to feel noticed and to know first and foremost that your challenges, that they are real and that you are capable and that nothing is too hard for you and that you have everything you need in it within you right now to take today and to handle it and conquer it with grace and with freedom and with a beautiful willpower of being the real version of you, and that is all possible. And so I encourage you today to make that one small, simple change and to live with abundant joy as you just prioritize taking a little bit better care of yourself, believing in you always. And I will talk to you next week on another episode of the podcast. Until then, friend, have the best day.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Best Day Podcast. Looking for more? Be sure to subscribe to never miss an episode and have guaranteed inspiration delivered to you weekly. Looking for an accountability group focused on encouragement, positive mindset, and intentional living? Come join the Best Day Facebook group or connect with us over on Instagram at the Best Day Podcast. And remember, your voice matters. Your presence matters. You are valued and your life is a treasure. You are absolutely capable of living your best life every single day in grace and freedom. Until next time, have the best day, friends.